Well, I think we will get started. We may have other people who join us in a minute or two, but I think we'll get started with a minute of silence so that we have all the time we can for Sarah Flitner, our wonderful special guest today. So this is a moment of silence to settle, to come into our beautiful shared space of Zoomlandia together, across the transom. Hello, everyone. So I am so glad to welcome Sarah Flitner as our guest, our special guest today. And I did send out biographical information, so we wouldn't take a long time in introduction. But I need to say that Sarah and I both grew up in generational ranching, many generations of ranching in Wyoming. And Sarah's sister, Carol Bell, has joined us often. She's not with us these last couple of classes because she has started a new class that conflicts. But I just find it so exciting and so fascinating that that the three of us, and really so many others, have come to mindfulness out of ranching. And I do feel there's a lot of crossover, but that's for and Meg Glazer, also from long-term ranching in Nevada, and Kelly Cash, who's worked with many generations of ranchers. Ray has connections to the land. So it's really, it's just so interesting to me, and I think very hopeful for the future that that's the case. And Sarah, I would love to turn the mic over to you and learn about your work with community building through mindfulness in Jackson Hole. And Sarah is the former mayor of Jackson Hole, among many other credentials, many other achievements.
It's such a delight and an honor to be invited by you, Teresa. I still have Riding the White Horse Home on my shelf, and it's one of my top 10 recommendations for anyone moving to the West. Which you should be experiencing a resurgence of sales because everyone's moving to the West. So I wanted to talk a little bit, let me just get clear that I have the timing right. I'll spend a few minutes talking about Becoming Jackson Hole and its origins in the West, and we'll do a practice. All of that will end by 1:29 or 1:30. And then if there are questions that others have, I'll stay and you can ask them. Is that how? Okay. And if someone needs to go because I talk too long, I'll learn my lesson eventually. If you're all rudely out the door, that'll teach me the lesson I need to learn. As Teresa mentioned, I want to start by talking a little bit about being a Westerner and growing up in the West. Many of you have shared that experience with me, and you know, things like "don't fence me in" are practically an oral tattoo. You know, we grow up with that in our bones and in our culture. I want to talk a little bit today about the spirit of our organization, Becoming Jackson Whole, and that's whole with a W, because we do explore this paradox in the work and in my consulting work, as Kelly mentioned many years ago, before it was in vogue, and I don't think it's in vogue today, but we shall bring it back. This idea of exploring for similarities. Even though we live in a world of divides, there are many, many things that in fact we have in common as well. So we're looking for spaces where we can both live our values and welcome the values of others. So I liked that "don't fence me in" because it takes a pretty large pasture to hold both of those things, my own values that I hold near and dear, and also room for others who have values or ways of being that might differ from mine. So as Teresa said, I'm founder of a consulting business that works in social science problem solving and a nonprofit that does the same, although we're really trying to raise awareness that there are tools, there are mental fitness exercises, if you will. Here we are in the mental gym today for the next few minutes that allow us to strengthen our minds in ways that make problem solving with compassion and focus and presence much more possible. I always use the metaphor, if someone said to me, "World peace is yours, you just have to do 5 pull-ups," I would so want world peace, but I can't do a single pull-up, so I would fail. But with practice, I might be able to reach that goal over time. And what we are trying to do is scale these mindfulness tools, some practices just like we're gonna do today, and also the use of micro practices like Teresa's Moment to Arrive, just taking 3 deep breaths throughout the day with an awareness of doing so. As we cultivate our own skills and capacities and also share those tools and practices with others. Let's see, I've been in Jackson 30 years. I've been involved in this work in some way or another, raised 2 sons and got married here. And I will admit, like many of you, that I came to mindfulness sort of kicking and screaming. It was a yoga practice and a really busy mind, restless mind, where I finally decided to try it. And 15 years later, you know, we are working hard in a secular way and a non-aggressive way to share these tools with our community. I imagine you picture, as I can, what, as I say to people, well, we're on a mission to make mindfulness second nature in Jackson. And all that means is like half of us plus one. I'm sure we can do that. But imagine if half of our leaders plus one, or half of our teachers plus one, or half of our surgeons who are about to operate on our most beloved person plus one, half of them plus one, came into the room feeling purpose, full attention, compassion, could access the reality that this person before me, whether it's a student or a patient, or the guy doing the vaccinations at the branding, is a human being just like me with hopes and worries and concerns as big as mine, and could conduct our lives in that way. I really think it's possible. So that's what we're after. Very quickly, we have a few non-negotiables. Our curriculum is science-based. We have a partner, our chief science advisor, Dr. Amishi Jha. Maybe some of you have heard of her. We like to say we practice what we preach. So we come into this work as students, not experts. Direction, not perfection, is okay with me. I'm going to lead you in a practice today. Every time I do that, I think of my teachers and those who've come before me and what they might say about my approach or what technique I'm applying. And rather than have that intimidate us out of the room, it just, I'm very in touch with the humility of it. but we have kind of a bushwhacky, and this is certainly a Western value. You know, we're not waiting to be rescued. We're trying to co-create in our community something that's of service to all, and we know that it's of service to ourselves too. We just finished quickly. We integrate sectors. Collaboration, as Kelly said, is a big part of what makes things work. You know, the infrastructure of a shared experience and learning about others. So we do that by methodically curating our training opportunities. This last one, we just graduated 7 trainees. They've spent about 700 hours collectively among them in the last 6-7 months. We have a cop, a teacher, a nurse, an HR director, a large employer, a Latinx leader, and they will go off into their organizations and share the same 4-week curriculum, you know, much like what you are doing as you share this space each week. The only other thing I'll say is that we do research about once a year. So we're actually trying to measure the results. So far, they're fabulous. So we'll share all of that with anyone. It's on our website. It's readily available to all of you as well. So quickly, I'm going to do an open awareness practice today with a little bit of connection, loving kindness sprinkled in at the end. I'm betting some of the master teachers would have a thing or two to say about that. But other than Teresa, they're not here, and I know she's forgiving. So we're going to spend about 10, 15 minutes. Is that about right, Teresa? Okay. And before we do that, I was reading last week, you know, I knew Teresa always makes me think about open space and shared values in the West. And I was rereading a passage from Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. Many of you probably know that text. And I was completely bemused to come across the quote, to give your sheep or cow a large spacious meadow is the way to control him. To give a larger spacious meadow is the way to control. Control sets off some responses in me that I'm not, you know, don't go quite with the teaching as I like to absorb it, but you do you. It did make me recall a conversation I had with a local rancher when I was in my 20s. He was also a governor and a U.S. senator. And he said, you know, when you're negotiating with people or trying to persuade, you got to give them room. You have to give them room. You can't try to get them in your corner by painting them into their own. And I never forgot that. And as I thought about, you know, how many metaphors there are in Western rural life, but, you know, they start for many of us literally. So I remembered being in the round corral with my brother and my sister, Carol, whom you know, as we learned to be training horses. And the first thing we were taught to do was open the round corral gate and come in with a bucket of oats. And, you know, organize the saddle and the bridle and the halter, but while the horse kind of sniffed around and ultimately came through of his or her own accord because they were interested in the oat bucket. So spending that time to let the round corral appear spacious. And of course, then there would come a time, it was time to close the gate, put the saddle on, have that day's lesson, and at a point it's too much for either the kid who's learning how to be a gentle horse trainer or the colt who's had enough, and reverse order, off came the saddle, bridle, and everything else. The gate opened, the bucket of oats stayed, and that's how we both right-sized the pasture and made it large enough for learning to occur. From there, we learn about the slow work of trust and the slow work of cultivating all of these capacities that I think I'm with like-minded fellow travelers. These capacities of dealing with human beings with human capacities of compassion, of recognition of the slowness of relationship development and trust, and being as sensitive and thoughtful as we can to making the pasture both large enough to make us not feel confined, but also safe enough to contain that which it needs to contain. So with that, I'm going to, with my eye on the clock, I'm going to go ahead and start our practice.